You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
All right. Welcome back, Republic of Texas, Hour 2. Susan Dantzler hopefully will be joining us here shortly. But meanwhile, we've got Michael from New York. We've been talking about all sorts of different things. And I want to let Michael finish his thoughts. And then he's got this clip that I'd never heard anywhere before from, you know, Barack Obama at one of those little press shenanigan things that the government used to do, did, whatever. Anyways, Michael, back to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, as far as the illegals coming in, they are being taught that we stole the land, as you guys were covering. Now, I verified that here back in the 90s. I knew about it then, and I finally had a chance to verify that, where I used to do pools then, and I was spread out, and so I asked a guy here locally, Carpenter, had some illegals working for him, if I could borrow a carpenter, because one of the jobs was a wood frame pool. And so I left him on that one, and he did a fine job with one of my guys. And so at the end of the day, I was working on another in-ground somewhere else. So I came by for lunch, gave him a nice break, set him up with some excellent refreshment. He wasn't used to that, guaranteed. I knew that instantly. And then at the end of the day, everything was great. I paid him good. He wasn't used to that either. But I take care of whoever I was working for me, they do the right job, I take care of them, and that's why they all wanted to work for me. But anyway, on the ride home, I'm giving him a ride home. So we're talking, he says he liked to work for me. I said, two reasons why you can't. I don't want to steal you from the guy I borrowed you from. Number two, you're an illegal, right? And he goes, yes, but you stole our land. Right like that. So I'm like, oh, okay, okay. So tell me, who did you steal the land from? No comment. Right? And that's how you nail them. Who'd you steal the land from? Okay, maybe we stole some of it. Tough. That's how it is. And but I told them we paid for a lot of it, too, so don't give me we stole it all. And but again, who did you steal it from? It wasn't like you've been there forever. And the other point is, right, they're speaking Spanish. They still speak the language of their conquerors. It wasn't us. It was the Spanish. And so, you know, it's really pathetic how they're all hypocrites and all that. But and the other thing is with Hispanics, what is that? When they call them Latinos, I'm always cracking. I'm like, what, are you kidding, Latino? I'm the Latino. I'm pure Italian-American. And so if anybody's Latino, it's us pure-blooded Italian-Americans. So it's just incredible how those in control of everything spin and redefine everything to get everybody so confused they don't know anything. And then last, I just wanted to say that I've been hoping that Trump would get the soldiers on the borders and shut this down once and for all. And even if they don't like it, it's time. I've been saying this for years. We got to invade south of the border and clean house and teach some respect again. That's what I hope we eventually do, and get all our troops home and just protect our own country here and seal our borders down. That's our job. And so here you have Obama. The last of his White House correspondence dinners in 2016. This clip, he's greeting his communist buddy, comrade Bernie Sanders, at the beginning of the event. Here you go.
You've been distancing yourself a little from me. I mean, that's just not something that you do to your comrade.
So that's him saying hi to Bernie, and you got to love the applause from all the traders out there in that audience, just enjoying hearing this kind of talk. And here we have Obama talking about the fall of our republic.
It is an honor to be here at my last, and perhaps the last, White House correspondent. You all look great. The end of the republic has never looked better.
And again, the old applause from all those people that should be swinging from tree limbs by now.
Yeah, I kind of hear it in your voice, Mike. You kind of like me. You would like to admire what they've done, but you can't because it ain't right.
Well, it's, you know, like, it's treason. What we have are these people that hate us, our culture, our Christian heritage, our freedom. They hate it. Well, then it's like, get the hell out. Go to Red China or someplace in the Middle East and enjoy your lifestyle there. Because this is how we are. And if you want to interfere with how we like to live, well, we're going to have to come to terms with that in probably a harsh way. And but sure, it's outrageous treason. And to have a president, I mean, all our other presidents that were patriots are rolling in the ground. Like, how come you didn't hang this guy by now? And, you know, when Obama, his first term as president, his very first term in September, when there was a UN meeting, when he attended that meeting, we got to remember that he sat on a Security Council chair. He wasn't sitting at the U.S. presidency chair. And so, like, that one, and his fall of the Republic comment, nobody in the mainstream media ever covers these facts, pointing these out, right? They just put that under the rug, and that's between themselves as they continue to dupe us with their silent takeover.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call, Mike. You know, I appreciate that. And that clip is the, you know, you played it the first time I ever heard it, and I think it's very important that people actually hear that. We're going to go to Robin, Illinois.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Susan Danzler should be coming up really quickly. Robin, Illinois, how's it going, man?
Hello, gentlemen. It's quite the conversation you have this morning. A few points I'd like to make out. You know, today is a presidential election in Mexico. They're at the polls as we speak.
You know, I forgot that, but I knew it was happening this weekend.
Yes, it is today. And the front runner there is a man named Lopez Obrador. He is the former mayor of Mexico City. They are dubbing him the Bernie Sanders of Mexico. He's a far leftist opponent that placed second in the two previous elections. Now, this Bernie Sanders of Mexico is a hardcore communist, and his plan is to several things going on there. One of them is that he plans to nationalize the oil. So in doing this, it's good for the people, you would think, but it also knocks out any of the oil companies that are there, the private oil companies, Exxon, Shell, BP, whoever. And that's going to put a big thorn in their side. And, of course, now you're going to have the oil in the hands of a hardcore communist. You know, this doesn't work out well. So you got that going on. Then you have two, and here's an interesting point that you may not know. There's two of the states in Mexico, there's like 31 states, two of them have declared independence, okay? Like they've seceded of some sort, kind of like a West Virginia or, you know, type of thing. So that's
they're
going on.
Thumped.
So, you know,
they'll be thumped.
There's two, so they're going to have some hardcore, you know, things going on there. Thirdly, here we have one of the plans he has. He's going to give amnesty to all the cartels. Amnesty. You're a cartel who are basically running the country, you know what I mean? Aside from the aristocrats that are like the 1% that are all the politicians and you name it, these light-skinned, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people who are not truly Mexican, you know what I mean? Because they're actually come from a different heritage. We'll get into that a little bit later because it expands into what you guys are talking about, this Hispanic. Okay, I'm getting off track here. During this election, since the election season started, now there's a mixed number here. Now, CNN reports as of June 30th, 132 assassinations since the campaigning for this election season started. Now, that number will range from anywhere. Yeah, this number will range anywhere from 113 to 132 or maybe more. Now, 48 of those victims are candidates. The rest are party workers. So say, you know, you're just like canvassing or whatever, boom, you're dead. You know what I mean? That's what we got going on there. Now, again, Mexico has been pretty much, this is cartel work. You know what I mean? This is globalist cartel. They're all shaking each other's hands and patting each other on the back and carrying each other's water. This is what they're doing. That's what we have in Mexico. Now, here's the biggest thing. Probably not the biggest, but it's very important. Now, he's talking trash about Trump, this guy. Now, you know, everyone's supposed to go against Trump. Everyone's supposed to attack Trump. Everyone's supposed to be against Trump. That's his whole message, a big message of his. Now, in this, it's not going to block anything having to do with the wall or border security or whatever, because this border's got to get open. You know, they got to continue with their commerce, which is human trafficking, drug trafficking, every other nefarious type of whatever, sneaking people into the country to plant their seeds here for the thing that would go against everybody else, the takeover
right.
of America, you know, the inside, the enemy in the gates type of scenario when they hear the dog whistle and everyone uprises and you're like, wow, that was my neighbor and wow, he's attacking me. Oh my gosh. So anyway, yeah, that's the whole situation that's happening with all this stuff.
You know,
but anyway,
I've been following that a little bit, Rob, you know, and I thought it very fascinating that that's going to be our next chapter in, you know, America versus Mexico. And, you know, the stuff that comes out of his mouth about, well, he's going to stop using the military to go after the cartels, and he's going to open the border, and he's going to allow people in to the United States and, you know, just do everything. It's all anti-Trump. And I don't know. I find it fascinating that they moved that piece into play. But again, you know, the U.S. government is playing a lot of the role in the Mexican cartels and the drug running. You know, the right. illegal drug trade, the CIA has its hands all over that.
And many others. I mean, you can't even put a label on it. We win things on the CIA all day, but it takes a village. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. I know.
So here's the thing with the invasion part. Now, he's going to, you know how we got all these people coming in from Honduras and Salvador, whatever, they're just getting carte blanche. And you know all those pictures people see of them on top of the trains and whatnot, and as long as they don't get off the trains and set foot on the ground in Mexico,
you
get carte blanche to go in. Well, that's just going to go to the wayside. Basically, he's up trying to incite Honduras and El Salvador. He's trying to incite all these people. He's trying to amass numbers up to getting at like 3 million or more people, as many as he can get. And one of the numbers he's throwing out is like 3 million. He's just going to get 3 million people together from all these countries that, you know, wherever, and just let them come and just come to our border and then deal with that.
And they would be herded through Mexico like cattle.
Right. They're just going to let it go up. Boom. Here. Boom. Carte blanche. Boom. Amass it. Boom. We're giving you permission. We're actually encouraging this. You need to do this. This is your right to go to America and do this thing. Now, with that, here's the other thing. Here's the sidebar to that. All the people we have let's start with who's in America now. You got 30 million undocumented people, 40, 50, 60 undocumented. Now you have those people going to go see those 3 million or more come to our border. What are they going to think? What are they going to do? What are their priorities going to be? What's going to be their allegiance to their potential Latin friends? Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever. If they decide, if you have any type of people inside this country that would decide to align with them, then you've got people inside. You know, now we're hit from two directions. Now you have your legal people that are legalized that are here. What are they going to think? Are they going to go against their interests of being in America and living a decent life and whatever to let them come in? Now, again, all of this, it's mental. Because here are these people are, even if they're undocumented, they're in America, they're safe, they're not being hunted by cartels, they're not being killed by federales, they're not having their towns invaded and just the whole town slaughtered. So somewhere in America,
yeah.
They're getting welfare, they're getting housing, they're driving new vehicles, they got food stamps, they may have a job combined with their welfare and food stamps or whatever. So they're living a good life. Now, for them to turn around and say, oh my gosh, we'll let those people in too, they're just going to, that's it. America's done. We will not survive this as far as
our economic
system.
It will turn into what they left. It will
exactly.
turn into what they're running away from. Yep.
You guys know full well that's been the big plan with Obama and his predecessors to turn America into a third, and if they can, a fourth world country.
Mm-hmm.
That way, boom, you know, it's instant slaves. As soon as they take away any, you know, get this done, we're slaves as it is due to the 14th Amendment. But boom, once they bring that in, everybody's begging. Anybody and everybody will do whatever they can or whatever. And when you're in that situation, you're a slave and you're a willing slave.
Oh,
like
man.
It or not.
We will love our servitude.
Hey,
yeah.
Rob, really appreciate your call. food for thought. You know, it's going to be interesting watching the Mexican, whatever the heck we're talking about.
Can I just really fast? You know, a lot of, again, I pointed out, those blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, they're not really Hispanic. And that's the whole thing. Are they Hispanic? You guys are going, is it Latin American? Is it South American? Well, you got all of Salvador and all those other places, Honduras, whatever. So that counts for Latin America, South America. But then you just have Hispanic, or Latino, whatever. There's such a mixed bag over there, it's hard to tell. But what you do have is your aristocrats and your upclass, the people that are really in charge of the country, who are your light-skinned, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, you know, from you can see it from the soap opera actors, the politicians, you know, their newscasters and stuff, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know. So those people came from Europe, and they are pretty much the Khazars who came over and took over and interbred with some of the Latinos but still carry on. They don't mix with the peasants. That's why the peasants, the peasants are the ones that are darker skinned, you know, brown hair, brown eyes, you know, more of a deeper brownish complexion. And that's they don't intermingle with those peasants. They keep this, you know, themselves segregated, and they will only intermix up there. That's why they carry on these bloodlines. And then when I say these, and again, Khazars, and you know who the Khazars are. They're the blah, 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 Y-E-W, that's what I'll say here. But they're in charge, just like they're in charge of many other places. And that's where you leave it there. And those are the people that are inciting all this. Those are the people that are benefiting. Those are the people that are reaping the wars. And those are the people that are, you know, have all the the weaponry away from these people and are able to slaughter them, whatever. And they use the cartels and gangs and whatnot to do their dirty work while they think, while they do the Bernie Sanders thing and play
the subterfuge. Subterfuge. They do it beneath the covers, and it's not ever vocalized, and people don't know about it, and they do it behind our backs.
And it's happening in America as well as it has been happening in Europe, and it's been happening in America for 200 years now, since 1848.
It's happening in Mexico, like you point out. I get it. I think a lot of people at RBN get it, you know, probably the majority, but it's good to be reminded. Man. Okay, well, thanks for that call there, Rob. We do have Susan Dantzler on the line, and it's an interesting segue, you know, talking about, you know, Texas now and today and what's happening, you know, because there's still the usual Texas, you know, we're trying to make Texas a good place. We're trying to secure the borders and this and that and whatever. Hell, Susan, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Hey, Susan.
Oh, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. Whatever the African continent has sent is affecting me, so I don't really see it as bad in the air until I get out away from the hill, and it's there, that haze. The Sahara has visited us.
We've been looking at the haze at the nighttime, right? And it was all a lot of that wet dark skies initiative, sky trespass lights and go and whatever. Allergies are really high. You know, I've been suffering for the last few days with, you know, that completely. So I totally understand. But
I've got to get back on a doc's regimen because that was really helping both of us. I think this is just a little extra that us Texans aren't used to.
Yeah, I had to do the old doc remedy for that too, but that's a different show. You know, I don't want to be, I want to be talking about Texas. And, you know, you've been in Texas. Your family's been in Texas for a long time. Isn't that right, Susan?
Seven generations.
What does that put? We're seven generations back. Where does that put you?
Oh, I've got news clippings actually of great 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 grandfather coming in from up north, not too far. Well, you know, I call anything north of the Red River north. he didn't want to fight with the Union, so you know, he came down here to stand with the South, with the Confederates.
Around 1860 or something like that, 1850s.
Yeah, you know, right. Okay. And it's really, really difficult to, I've counted back 7 generations. That one is iffy. And since it's on the side of iffy, and we're going to go ahead and claim it, six to seven generations. And I was working for a while with the Daughters of the Republic because there was a tailor that served at the Alamo, and I don't know if that's one of ours or not yet. We're still working on it.
Okay. We talked a little bit about the Alamo, and I bumped into somebody in my day-to-day life that was worried about the Alamo and the United Nations. Well, they didn't say the United Nations. They're really pissed off at George P. Bush, you know, and what he's been doing.
Yeah, UNESCO.
UNESCO. But hey, I read an article earlier on saying that the United Nations, for sure, and they wanted to make this clear, is not taking over the Alamo. Okay, so we can stand assured, I guess, that. Well,
that's a terrific opening. You just kind of laid it all out for me. When we got to the convention, they have your credentials ready for you.
One of the reasons I thought to bring Susan on was because Texas just went through what they called the Texas State Texas Republican State Convention, where Susan and a whole bunch of other people that I know went up to it was held in where, Susan?
San Antonio.
San Antonio. For some, I thought it was awesome. And they go to figure out what the party platform was, right? And do continue. Did I just knock you off the horse? You know, we were talking about the Alamo.
And just keep in mind that we were steps from the Alamo, which was, you know, fitting.
Okay. So, okay. Well, what's the deal with the Republican State Convention in the Alamo? Were they talk about that at all? No?
Yes. Well, yes. There was a plank. That was voted practically unanimously to leave our Alamo alone, to protect sites such as that the Republican Party does not approve of reimagining, and they want to put it back in the hands of the Daughters of the Republic. You know, and there's some discussion about, they didn't really, handle the money well. And I question that. I question as if they set them up to not have the money to manage it well. So, that was passed by, like 95% leave the Alamo alone. It was a referendum, if you will, on George P. Bush.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard
he was recently, booed.
He was booed and ran out.
I've got video of it, and the look on his face was just incredulous. He could not believe that, the little people, would boo and heckle him to the point that he could not even speak. It was so loud. It was 9,000 people over him with a microphone, granted, and he still was not able to get all of his words out. They were chanting loudly, "Remember the Alamo."
Wow. I heard a little bit about that this week, and I didn't realize that was from the Texas Republican convention thing.
Yep. Yep, there's some tough cookies that they mean business. It falls apart between the business that the Republicans take care of and what the legislators do.
But now tell me a little bit about these things that you call planks, right? Because let's just remember, I'm naive where it comes to how this whole political thing works together. And I know you, people, my friends from all over Texas get together, and you amass 9,000. Not that I have 9,000 friends that go there, but I do have more friends that go there that are on that I can count on two hands. And
right,
you sit there and you figure out, well, what the party stands for, and you are elected or not elected, appointed. I don't know. Here in Gillespie County to represent folks like, well, me, right? And then you go over right there and you fight for what I want and what you think is right. And I support that. You know, you and I seem to really share a lot of the same thoughts. So how does that work? You know, you had a hard time even becoming a delegate, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, you know, this was my third time to be a delegate, and you were nominated. You go through a nominations process, and, you know, then they vote. And you've got, you know, different committees. You've got a nominations, you've got a committee, you've got a resolutions committee, which I was on. And so, yeah, you're basically elected. You're nominated and elected to represent, the people in your county, and then own up the ladder of our district, our Senate district. And the thing that makes this a perfect system, if you will, is that it starts from the very bottom. And this is what we ought to be. We ought to be bottom up. That's what it says in our Texas Constitution, that all political power is with the people. So we start at a precinct level, a little precinct. We do our resolutions, and it goes to county, and then we vote on it there, and then it proceeds to state. So, you know, that's why I feel as though it's important, because it's the voice of the people from the precinct to the county to the state. And then that's when the body at large, all the delegates vote on the things that speak for them, that represent them. And it's a good process. And again, it kind of falls apart between the work that we do that week every 2 years and what our Republican elected officials, servants do in Austin. Well, and, you know, that can be for a couple of reasons. We're not voting properly, and we're not holding their feet to the fire. We're just staying home. We're watching football. We're just, you know, whatever. We've disengaged. And they know it. They count on it. But on the good side, 2 years ago, 2016, is the first time we enacted legislative priority. Legislative priorities up until this last convention consisted of three items. The number one being constitutional carry. Then there was one for elimination of property tax, and there was another one, I'm drawing a blank. This year there was discussion about increasing it to 10, and then we ended up getting 5. Constitutional carry stayed on as a legislative priority, and several others that are good. The planks, just like you said, it defines us. What's important to us? What do we want in Texas? And just simply in a nutshell,
there you go. What happened to Susan? Steve, are you there? Sorry. Yeah, I was waiting. I figured Steve or I didn't know they dropped off. I guess I'm still here.
I'm still here too, Al.
I'm here. I kind of ran away to take care of the kid for a second. So, did we? Oh, okay. Well, you know, we're gonna bring Susan back and we'll figure all that out. But here's the deal: the commercials are coming up. Gives us a second to regroup, and we'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio. Live radio, folks. Whatever the hell. July 1st. It'll give us time to realize this love was set for demise.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent.
So here we fight all through the night, going at it.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, sorry about the little bumpty bump there. You know, this kind of stuff happens. Susan Danzler from Harper, Texas is on the line. She's a delegate for the Republican Party, or at least she's one of our delegates here. And she was up there, and those guys get together, and they've been kind of like, well, I've been here in Texas for nearly 10 years, and I've been watching the Republican Party kind of change and go from the, I don't give a crap, bomb them all, kill them all. Do whatever, the neocon spirit of, you know, I like Bush, miss me yet, to something else. And, you know, it's kind of curious, and I can see the effect that they're having. One of the effects was, what I like to call Governor Wheelchair. His name's Greg Abbott, right? He's our governor, and I don't know what he believes in. He kind of seems like he's a little wishy-washy. And recently, it seems that he was pushed to make a stance or to try to come into alignment with, the people that live in Texas when he tweeted, see, look at this, we're covering Twitter twits, Greg Abbott twits, the reason I pushed for and signed open carry and campus carry wasn't for sport. It was to ensure Texans can defend themselves. I will never sign a law that limits self-defense. my school safety plan can make schools safer without infringing on number two of A rights. Huh. Yeah. Do you think they have a whole army of Twitter Tweety press release people? You know, Susan, what did you think? Because I laughed when I saw that, and I go, I wonder how much the room. They really don't like you guys telling them what is important. I don't think he likes gun control. Or I don't think he likes guns. Susan? Susan, the dropped Susan?
Okay, I'm here. Okay,
she's here.
No, he doesn't. He's got higher aspirations, you know, and he's got higher aspirations than just being, you know, the governor of Texas. You know, the thing that disturbed me the most this time was to find out that he and his staff followed our every move, all of our decisions, all of our votes. He literally said that he wanted to know beforehand if any controversial legislative planks were coming out at this convention. And it's none of his business. As we spoke, you know, before in the previous segment, this is grassroots. And this is from the bottom up. And we don't need him sitting up there on his high horse demanding to know if anything in his view controversial is coming down the pike. But he did.
I don't know. I think he should pay attention. You know, his job is to follow your will, no?
This, well, according to the Constitution, the Texas Constitution, it is.
Right.
He's got less power. Right. It's the way, you know, and most folks don't understand this. The governor is not the power engine, if you will, over Texas. He has very little power. Actually, the Speaker of the House, the way Texas is designed politically, not just politically, but also in our Constitution, has the most power. And people may ask why. Well, the House. The House of Representatives is closer to the people. He is the leader over the group, the House of Representatives, that's closer to the people. So in Texas, we don't give any governor the iron fist.
Right.
Yet
now,
he's trying
now
to get
when
it.
You say that, when you say that, you speak of the government in which we live under. I guess it's not because the U.S. Constitution and the Texas Constitution, they get this whole, you know, governor is in charge of the land type of thing, but we don't live in a republic.
Well, no, and you have to say that because you ruffled my feathers when you said that the government that we live under, okay? No, it's the government that we create for ourselves. It's when we are lackadaisical. It's when we don't care. You know, got to go golfing, got to go fishing, got to watch sitcoms. That's when it becomes the government we live under. We only, we're designed to be self-governing. That's why the little thing I told you about, it starts from the precinct, goes from the county, goes to the state. The people. But then when the people go to sleep, then we live under the government.
Yeah, if I may, yeah, you say that you know everything. You know, it starts from the bottom, and you know that might be all well and true. But what if the bottom is basically more corrupt than even the upper levels? You know, I asked our state representative, you know, the local boy here who did not win his local county because of the shenanigans they played. But I asked him, I said, you know, what's it like in the Den of Vipers up there? And he goes, oh, it's not really too bad. You know, you kind of expect, you know, to be pressured, you know, this way and that because, you know, on certain subjects, you know, to change your vote. And, and he said, he looked at me and he said, you know, to tell you the truth, and I answered his question for him, I said, it's worse around here. And he nodded his head. And I said, yeah, I've been to my city council meetings. I've been to county commissioners meetings. I will totally probably agree with you on that. So what happens when the situation is like that? You know, like people have become apathetic, and they don't understand what's being done to them because we've been lied to a lot, and we're given platitudes, but then reality comes out, doesn't it? Platitudes and reality have nothing generally to go together with.
Yeah.
No, and here's a good example, Alan. So last Monday there was a hearing, an interim charge hearing, which means we're not in session. He can call a session anytime he wants, but when you're not in session per se, like we do every 2 years, he can, however, call an interim charge hearing, and it's a little more informal. They can't give you 5 minutes. They can still give you 2 minutes. The problem here is that all across the state of Texas, we're having a hearing about red flag laws, which means pre-crime. I think you might do something, or get this, someone might SWAT you. We've had that happen here in Gillespie County. They might call 911 and lie. They might have a revenge. A woman might have a revenge against a husband who's cheated or divorcing her. And so for revenge, she can call and say, my husband is just not acting right. I fear for my life, and he's got a collection of guns. Bam, red flag laws kick in, and we can take your guns even if you haven't done anything wrong. So 10 people, Alan, 10 people show up in Austin the day of this hearing, but it's full of Bloomberg-backed women wearing the red T-shirts. I'm not going to say the name of the organization because I'm not giving them airtime, but those people show up in mass, and 10 people show up across Texas to testify as to why. Yeah, to oppose governor's charge.
A lot of people have begun to feel like Don Quixote, tilting at windmills. They know that the process is corrupt. What can you do in it? You know, when they'll sit there and tell you to your face and shake your hand and smile at you and say, well, that's great, we'll do that. And then what happens? The exact frickin' opposite.
Alan, I'm going to disagree a little bit with you on that, because I don't think they've even gotten to the point that they've seen that there is a windmill. I don't think they've even tilted towards it. they haven't tried. They're watching sports, or they're watching something else. They don't feel the hit, let alone see the ball as it comes from the pitcher's mound towards them. And that's frustrating. Sorry about that. My throat's getting all nasally.
And you could just put this out there, that you could lose your guns just by someone making a comment of swatting you, lying, whatever. For 2 years, 3 years, they could end up in some evidence if they don't end up in an auction, and you could spend $10,000 or more to get your gun, your property, and your rights back. So
they can throw you in a mental institution if your doctor asks you if you've ever been depressed, and you say, "Well, yeah, my dog died last year, and I was down for a couple of months." They can throw you in for doing that. I mean, in any state.
So, okay.
They're not just throw you in the jail. They can seize your guns. That's what a red flag law is. The problem with this is that we don't have adult depressed people going in and shooting up schools. We've got kids that are out of control going in and shooting up schools. They're going after a symptom and not a problem. They're actually going after the wrong demographic instead of the problem. And just put this out there, 180 school districts in Texas have implemented the school marshal program. So there's, and that's out of 1,500 ISDs. So they want their gun-free zones.
You know what that does, Susan? That creates another level of bureaucracy, because now there will be a bureau or an administration or something that will oversee those people, those school marshals, and the beast grows. Even if it sounds for the good, the beast grows.
Well, the way I understand it, the school guardian program and the school marshal program is that you don't even have to reveal that, Mrs. Smith, your algebra teacher, is carrying a gun. It's nobody's business to the public. And only this group No, no one's forced to carry a gun if they don't feel comfortable with it. If ever I was in favor of some gun trip.
And those people will have to be licensed and regulated and tested and permitted.
Yeah. I think we lost Susan again. Are you there, Susan? Well,
yeah,
one of my. Yeah, she's having a bad cell coverage time. You know, it's kind of a dang shame. You know, here in Gillespie County, we have lots of cell problems. Landlines, well, they do have a lot of problems, and they're not even available to everybody. Well, anyways, we were talking about gun control, and that was the main reason that that I brought this up with Greg Abbott. He's faced a big challenge, and maybe, Sam, you can yell at me when we get Susan back, or Susan, you can yell at me when you do get back. I've seen this has become people like Susan, right? Susan and JD, Doc, help me out. Why my brain freeze? Grisham, is it JD?
You mean
CJ?
Yeah, CJ. He's with self defense, and he ran for Senate.
Yeah, he's really big into, you know, open carry Texas, and he's moved Texas to, you know, start looking at, I guess, being less sensitive to guns. Is that weird? You know, you think of Texas and you think, you know, well, I think of all the neighbors around here who have a 22 at their back door or a shotgun or something to deal with varmints, because the varmints are taking out their sheep and their goats and, you know, their chickens and so forth. And so this is kind of normal. But you get to these places like Austin and Houston and so forth, and they think of guns. They think the things that, you know, people kill people with. But again, they're also for self-defense. But open carry Texas, and while people like Susan that are pushing for open carry, like Alan said, without the restrictions of if I want to carry a firearm, I have to get a license. And what does a license mean? That means that I get registered. And first thing is like, okay, so if you're registered, you must have a gun. It's kind of like, oh, well, raise your hand if you have a gun. There you go. So part of the Republican planks, I believe they are. She's back. That's great.
I am back.
This time she's got a landline. I was saying one of the planks that was pushed through during the convention was a push to go to a more constitutional carry. But then that has some problems, right? You were talking about the Texas state constitution actually has some problems with that were put in about the time that your family came to Texas in the 1860s. You know, was that correct?
Yes, and it dates back to, okay, for those who don't know this, and I may be preaching to the choir, you know, after you know, the Confederate states lost to the Union states, the slaves were freed. And this may sound controversial, but this is the truth behind Jim Crow laws. You've got those fellows out there that are, the slaves are free. We can't have black people running around with guns. That's the premise behind Jim Crow laws. So during Reconstruction, the Union told us, you're going to put this in your Constitution, boys. So the states, the legislature, I'm paraphrasing, can regulate the wearing of firearms with a view to prevent crime. Actually, I think I got it word for word. So that's been used against us. So it's also been said by some of the people in this constitutional carry movement that we shouldn't even call it constitutional carry, because our constitution in Texas is worded in such a way that it literally gives the legislature the right to regulate the wearing of, in a view to prevent crime. Until we amend that portion, that sentence, if you will, of the Texas Constitution, we will never truly have constitutional carry. And that
they can define crime. They can define crime as anything they want.
Sure they can. So that sentence literally comes from the Jim Crow era Reconstruction after the Civil War, and I think it's about time for it to be amended.
Now, it's one of those prejudice union things, right?
It is. And we're still living under it.
I thought they freed the slaves, not, you know, they weren't racist, but they guess.
No, they did. They freed the slaves. They're just regulating them.
Did they?
They enslaved the rest of us. They just had the same rights as white people.
Uh-huh. Reconstruction.
So, you know, some really good things did come out. One of the things I want to share is, and you hit upon it, about the Republican Party has really changed. And so I paid closer attention this time. Granted, there's been people that's been a delegate for 30 years. I mean, this is my third rodeo, so I was able to relax a little bit and pay attention to you know, kind of what was going on. And what I see is the grassroots that we spoke of earlier are just, they're an amazing group of people. And like you said, you know many of them, and I know an awful lot of them. And it's expanding, and it's expanding. And, you know, if you've ever had the displeasure to watch a Republican convention on TV, you think, these people are out of their minds. They wear red, white, and blue. They either got a sparkly red baseball cap on or they're wearing an elephant on their head. And it's not like that anymore. We show up, you know, business casual. I even wore jeans a couple of times and our boots. And 65% of us, I'm not going to say that we're like-minded, like you and me and Alan, but I'm going to say they're moving in that direction, which that's good, is they're moving in that direction, and they understand freedoms and liberties and liberty governments. 35% is what we're up against when we go to this to these conventions, when we start fighting in, you know, next year at our when our session takes place. 35% is, my statement was, they're at the wrong convention. Mm. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Are they exactly like me? I don't think there is anyone exactly like me, other than maybe Stephen and Alan, I think, is even doing a better job.
Yeah, but I'm
That's the positive. That's the positive that I took, and it's going in the right direction.
Well, I hope so. I believe so, right? But, you know, I see this Abbott tweet, right, where he's saying, well, I support this, and I'm just waiting for something to come along and go, well, I support this, but, you know, they're forcing my hand to do the opposite. Oh, damn them.
It makes you wonder, you know, where's his war chest coming from? You know, who's pushing it? And another thing that if I want to see a man who owns guns and has a pickup truck and have a NRA sticker explode on me is to say the NRA is not your friend. The NRA has fought for three sessions. Lobbied, put money into to restrict your gun rights. And they look at
Oliver North
and
is the new president. Oliver North is the new president. And look into who Oliver North is and what he's done if you don't know it already.
Mm-hmm.
They're responsible for, and unfortunately I don't have it right here in front of me. My head is full of too much data right now. They are responsible for the School Safety Act. And I will come up with the year, but they also actively, unabashedly fought against, more so in 2014. Okay, so that would be 2015. Constitutional carry.
Let me finish this off because we're running out of time here. When you went to day one of the convention, now this convention can only be held at three places in Texas due to the large amount of attendees. It will either be in San Antonio, Austin, or Houston. The location did not want anybody carrying firearms openly. They said, no, yeah. It's against our rules. All of them say that. But the Republican Party goes, no, that ain't happening. You know, we're going to open carry. And so on day one, they showed up and they got that struck. And so there was a lot of Kerry supporters. And you overheard a security guard saying something. Susan, care to share that?
Sure. And he was a San Antonio police officer. And it was on day one. And I'm open carrying because I'm going to do that until it becomes a reality. We don't have to pay to be able to put that, you know, that gun on our hip. I don't even know after that if I will even continue to open carry, but I'll be armed. His comment was, and there's meeting rooms where the committees would meet, and I just want to say those people put in 18 to 19 hours per day working on this. This is the sausage making for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So you can go into these committee hearings. You can go in there. You can testify. You can watch. You can record. Or you can go out to the lobby. Okay, this is where the cop was hanging out. His comment was, and he was talking to about four or five people that were attendees, and he said, everybody here is wearing a gun. I don't even know why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. But you were harassed during that convention, too, by the locals of San Antonio.
The locals of San Antonio. It was actually kind of funny. I mean, even two or three Republican delegates made some kind of pistol packing mama comment. Does that thing have a trigger guard? And I looked down at it and I said, can you see that my trigger's not exposed? Yeah, but does it have a trigger guard? And I said, yeah, me. And but the funniest one was Friday. I'm leaving. It's been a long day. It's hard to put one foot in front of the other. And I'm walking from this convention center, who's named after a communist, so I won't say his name. And so I'm walking kind of towards the Tower of the Americas, that tall spindle thing from the hemisphere, if you can recall that. And there's obviously a group of about six guys dressed in white. They've got nets on their hair, so I'm guessing they're probably taking their break from working in the restaurant. And so I come walking down the way, and someone throws their hands up and says, here comes the sheriff. And it just went all over me. Yeah, it's all over me. I'm either condemned in some other kind of way or someone asked me if I'm law enforcement, which is hilarious.
You're a cop.
So as I get a little bit closer, okay, here's your controversial comment for the day. I said, now, I'm not the sheriff. I'm the one who protects you from the sheriff.
Yeah.
And so I took, you know, my mouth. Steven, you know me, but I took about three or four more steps, and the guy on the end says, do you have a license for that thing? And it was like, okay, this is it. I want to get in my car, turn on the air conditioner. It's 100 degrees. And I just looked at him, and I said, I don't comply.
Don't comply. Okay, folks. Well, thank you for another 2 hours. Welcome to July. Please don't comply. I rhymed. I'm proud. Republic of Texas Radio. Until next week.
Earth and the farther sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed.
No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.